When others treat your fries as an afterthought, all you're left with are cold, soggy fries. That's why Wendy's new fries are ones you won't forget, guaranteed to be hot and crispy, or we'll replace them. We're talking natural cut, skin on fries, perfectly seasoned with a hint of sea salt. In fact, they're even preferred almost 2-to-1 over McDonald's. These are fries so hot and crispy, they beg a new question.
What would you like with your fries?
Try them today, only at Wendy's.
At participating U.S. Wendy's, taste preference based on a national taste test by an independent research company.
This is your Wendy's wake-up call. Start your day with a better breakfast and get a free drink with any of our morning-making breakfast sandwiches. That's your favorite drink in a Wendy's cup, free. Fresh brewed coffee, free. Diet Coke, free. Vanilla Frosty Chino, that's cold brew plus Frosty Creamer plus free. So don't sleep on this deal. Get any size drink in a Wendy's cup free when you buy any breakfast sandwich. Choose wisely. Choose Wendy's.
Limited time only at participating Wendy's. On the card only. Offer valid upon request on lowest price qualifying item. Not valid for third-party delivery.
Welcome to the Browns Wire Podcast. This is your host, Josh Keeley. With me again is Donovan James. The Browns are, it's Victory Tuesday. Victory Tuesday, Donovan. The Browns are now, what are they sitting at? 6-3? I never thought I'd see the day. So pretty exciting stuff, man. How you feeling?
I'm feeling good, man. It's been a long time since you can say that, huh? 6-3 for the Browns. Maybe since like the 90s, early 90s?
Yeah, 80s? No shit. I don't know. They made the playoffs in 2002 on the back of Tim Couch and Kelly Holcomb.
So Kelly Holcomb, yeah. Sure.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to do a brief Browns review of their victory against the Texans. Then we're going to go into a deep dive into the Browns-Eagles preview. Other Browns news to note. The leading rusher for the Cleveland Browns in 1955, Fred Curley Morrison, has passed away on Sunday night due to complications with his hip. I just found that out literally before we got on. That's a damn shame. Fred Morrison was the fullback for Ohio State, was drafted by the Chicago Bears, and played for the Cleveland Browns for a few years. And was named to the Pro Bowl in 1955. He was a very nice guy, very awesome dude. So it's a shame that he's passed away. But on the positive note, the Browns do have a win against the Houston Texans, even though it was ugly. They barely pulled it out 10-7. Donovan, what did you think about it?
Yeah, for one, how's the weather in Ohio? Because it was rough. That's the first thing when you notice you watch that game was the weather.
It snowed today, dude.
It's crazy, dude. Like it, I know there's been a weather shift pretty much everywhere in America, but the weather, it's cold, not that cold. No. It's like 42 degrees, but I'm still trying to get used to it. I'm wearing the hoodie right now, but you guys can't see that. But yeah, man, what I thought about the game was, yeah, just the first thing I saw was the weather conditions, and it was glad to have Nick Chubb back on the field, man.
Yes.
Obviously, having Nick Chubb back on the field with tandem with Kareem Hunt, that's the best 1-2 punch in football to me as far as running backs go, in my opinion. There's some other really, really good ones out there, but that's the best one. If they have those guys running the ball, the record in front of me says 4-1 with Nick Chubb on the field. And
I believe that.
Yeah, 209.8 yards and 9 touchdowns. They have 0 touchdowns and only averaged 95.5 on the ground without Chubb. So it's night and day, man. He is one of the most valuable players in the league, or definitely in that conference. That's the toughest division in football. Obviously, the Steelers still being undefeated. The Ravens did go down last week, but still a really good team there. So, and then, you know, they're going to fight, obviously, in Cincinnati across the way. So, yeah, they did a really good job, man. 231 rushing yards and a touchdown on the ground. Not a lot of offense, you know, 10-7 no. ball game. But, you know, still some inconsistencies from Baker Mayfield. But, excuse me, Kevin Stefanski's been I think he's done a pretty good job. I don't know how you feel about him, but I think
he's done a good job. They're on the course to playoffs, so it's hard to complain. I do think that the Browns did look like crap overall. Like, I know they won, but the Texans are pretty terrible.
They're bad.
They're not a good team. They fired their head coach. They're happen to be the same person, you know, traded their best player who we saw light it up in Arizona on Sunday. It's just, you know, the running back David Johnson was hurt. The game was scripted. The game was really played out like the Browns like the Browns should have dominated the Texans, and they kind of squeaked out. I know that the score doesn't reflect how bad it really was because Nick Chubb, you know, ran out of bounds at the one with 3 seconds left. So the score would have actually been 17-7. But still, that's a little too close for my liking. The offense really did not play well. The defense played the defense did play well. Granted, the weather probably really hurt the Texans. David Johnson being out hurt the Texans. But, you know, Denzel Ward was shut down again. Myles Garrett's a freak, absolute freak. He his stats don't really show the impact he made, but he had that big fourth down stop. But yeah, you were right. Baker Mayfield had another game where he looked really pedestrian. He had two awful missed passes early in the game and couldn't really find his footing. I know a lot of that's on the weather, but it's hard to look past his last couple outings where he struggled. But I came away overall a little disappointed despite Chubb, Hunt, and Myles Garrett looking phenomenal, you know?
Yeah, you got to be a little disappointed. That Chubb, everyone's talking about that for fantasy purposes or betting purposes. The Chubb going out, you know, sliding or whatever. You're supposed to slide.
Browns lost against the spread. If you had money on the Browns, you lost Sunday. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I heard him talking about it the next morning. Saw people tweeting about it that night or that day, rather.
I think Stefanski's been very patient with all the injuries and you know, here on offense and defense, man. And, you know, having to deal with Baker's inconsistencies, but kind of changing the game plan from what it has been. And Baker's seen a lot of different, obviously, you know, OCs and head coaches since he's been in the NFL for a short time. But I think this is a match made in heaven. I think they still got to, you know, get a little bit better. Obviously, you know, week by week they can do that, but they're on the right path, man. Being 6-3 right now is huge. Because, obviously this game versus Philly is – they should win this game too, and we'll get into that in a second. But it's not a must win, we'll say that. But to be 7-3, to be 6-4 is a humongous difference to me, especially in that division.
Yes. If you look at the record, it's hard, you can't be upset, right? The Browns are definitely way better than they've ever been. It's just every game is set up. The last couple of games have set up for them to be in a good spot to really exploit what's going on and really put the gas to the pedal, and they just really haven't. They haven't beat the spread in the last 4 weeks. You know, they got pounded by the Pittsburgh Steelers. They barely squeaked out a win against the Bengals. They, you know, the Raiders, who aren't very good, beat them by 10 points. And now, you know, they barely beat the Texans. So if you look at the overall record, the overall landscape of what's going on, you have to be impressed. You have to be happy as a Browns fan because they've sucked for so long. It's the first year head coach, first-year defensive coordinator, first-year offensive coordinator. With no offseason, you know, I'm overall happy. It's just that was not – there are certain things that I'm wanting to see get better, like Baker Mayfield, you know. It's just that's – I don't think there's anything wrong with that necessarily. But, you know, we'll see. We'll see what they do against the Eagles. But, you know, again, the Browns are sitting at 6-3, and they're well in the thick of the playoff race.
You got to be a little excited for sure coming next week and wanting to see what they do because Daniel Jones – played really well. He was like 18 of 18 with a clean pocket. He ran the ball really well. Extended the play.
Well.
Yeah, so, and Wayne Gallman had a good day, and you know, like I said, just gave you the stats with Chubb and those guys, Chubb and Hunt are running the ball. He's got to be able to take advantage of that. And he's got to be able to take advantage of those balls he misses early on, I feel like. Especially like the deep passes he's been missing. Those were balls that he just connected with, like watching – almost watched every Baker Mayfield game, like going back to Texas Tech.
Oh, I'm sure you did.
and Oklahoma, he just connected on those balls so much. And that's the one – if he's getting one extra touchdown in like 70 to 100 yards a game, that's going to make a big difference and change the momentum of these games, especially early on, for him to get in rhythm. And it's just not happening at a consistent level right now. And you want it to. The weather's going to get worse, you know, throughout the season, and the team is going to – competition's going to get harder. More wins you get, you know, you're going to get in that playoff run. So you got to just play better. You can't just run the ball every down, no matter how good Richard and Hunt are. Got to be able to connect. And obviously not having Odell, it hurts them. I still think it hurts them. A lot of people say, oh, they might be a little better off without him.
That was a conversation in our group chat at Browns Wire, was how effective and how what's the difference in OBJ? OBJ, even if his statistics don't show it, he's a huge factor. I mean, ever since he's been out, we've been looking and staring down the barrel of 8-man boxes.
Yeah, I mean, they have other good receivers
too. Gunning towards the run game.
Yeah.
I know there's a big drop off from OBJ to Donovan Peoples-Jones. I mean, Donovan Peoples-Jones played a lot of snaps on Sunday, and I think you're crazy if you don't think that defenses are watching and keying off of OBJ. I think that this offense is definitely better with OBJ on the field. I don't know why people keep insinuating or keep insisting that the offense is better without him. That, to me, that's just ludicrous.
It is easily better with him. Some of the numbers did show, I think, that they were better, obviously, without him. And Baker made, obviously,
that there's half, very
that,
good there.
That half Baker had when he got hurt, that game he got hurt.
Yeah.
Everyone points to that game, but I mean,
which was against the Bengals.
Exactly. And as you see, you just played a team that's, not great. Like you said, in the Houston Texans, they still have talent, but not great. And I don't know how many yards he had. It wasn't many. I can't think the number. I'm drawing a blank on right now.
Baker threw for 100. He was 12 for 132 yards.
So I was going to say 130 yards. Yeah, that's, I mean, exactly.
Close. Yeah.
Having him helps. Jarvis Landry, I do like, but he's not Odell Beckham. You know what I mean?
Jarvis Landry is great, but he doesn't take the top off. OBJ takes the top off. He demands that bracket coverage. You know, I don't think it's the variables. Let's say that Baker may, if the offense is not better with OBJ on the sideline, maybe I'll level with you and say that Baker Mayfield is more productive and efficient with OBJ on the sidelines. I'll let you have that. But is that OBJ's fault that Baker looks to him every other play? No, I don't think so. I think that we're seeing Baker Mayfield go through more progressions now, because before he was staring down OBJ. Does that make sense? But that's not OBJ's fault. That's, you know what I mean? Like, was Dante Culpepper worse when Randy Moss is on the field? You know what I mean? Like, it's just I don't understand. He's got that's not on OBJ. That's on Baker to figure out how often to get him in the game and to not stare him down, basically.
Exactly. I mean, I'm looking at what these young cats are doing this year, and it's insane. Like, I'm looking at – that's the only thing I worry about Baker, man. I'm a huge Baker Mayfield fan. I have been, like I said, for a while. Like, I mean, I watched it in high school still, man. Like, I remember, like, I was
– Baker?
Yeah, like, I remember, like –
Well, he wasn't a highly recruited guy, right?
He wasn't, but he went to a big high school. You know what I mean? He went to Lake Travis, and that's you know, state title every year conditions, and same high school as Garrett Gilbert, you know what I mean? So
that's right.
And Garrett was a 5-star coming out, so he's that opposite of like a Baker. But I mean, I'm a huge fan, don't get me wrong, but it's just with these young cats like Tua and Justin and Joe, even Drew Lock at times throwing the ball well, it's hard to see that because these guys have had no offseason. They're just ripping it. You know what I mean? And like, what's going on? Like, why hasn't he in year three right now been better, more consistent? I get the coaching staff thing. The Browns curse of the quarterback. I don't believe in that stuff. Like, I just believe that, like, he has been the best quarterback they've drafted in a while, but it's still a lot of work to go. If he can be Baker Mayfield, Heisman Trophy guy, like, you know what I mean? He's getting compared to, like, the other guys, like Lamar Jackson, Deshaun Watson, and Mahomes. I mean, he'll never be like Mahomes, probably, but, you know what I mean? Obviously, but, I mean, those guys. Because he's kind of like – he's better than Mr. Trubisky's and those guys that have fell off of Sam Darnold, but he's in the middle of the top tier young guys. He's not below with Sam and Mitch and DJ. Daniel Jones is kind of somewhere. We're still waiting on him.
There's definitely a point where you have to figure out, is he the guy? I think Baker is. I think he's shown enough to me. I think he's the most accurate quarterback in the NFL. I mean, when he sets his feet and when he's on fire, I mean, he had that ball a couple weeks. Well, I think it might have been against Cincinnati. I mean, you can. There are highlights where it's just disgusting how much he can pinpoint that ball. But you know, when he throws a bad, pass, he throws it high. Sometimes he stares down receivers. You know, sometimes when he's running around like a wild man, he doesn't get his feet set, and it's awful. He makes poor decisions more often than not. There are some issues there, but I'd stick with him. I don't think he's the. I don't think he sucks. I just think I think that this offense would be That's going to sound really stupid, but it's going to sound really obvious, but obviously I think the offense would be better if he was better. I feel like Baker at 100% makes this offense phenomenal, but when Baker's off, this offense is really bad. He's inconsistent, but when he's good, he's really good. But at what point do you need him? At what point do you give up on it because he's so inconsistent? Does that make sense?
It makes sense, and then making the playoffs would be a big deal. I don't think it's going to be anytime soon. Once he doesn't have like some kind of crazy meltdown, if they make the playoffs this year, which they should with the extra teams getting in seeding wise, they have no, and now if they don't make the playoffs this year, sitting at 6-3 right now, we got a problem. You know what I mean?
Well,
I think because I mean you should make the playoff. I AFC is good. It's better than NFC to me, but you still should make the playoffs.
I think you're right. Right.
Yeah,
I think you're right.
Because it was eight teams this year in the AFC. Is it 16 teams? Is it seven?
No, you're right. Eight.
It's eight. Yeah, it's eight. So yeah. I mean, they should be making the playoffs, man. To me, eight teams. That's two extra teams. Yeah,
they're on track to do that. Again, with the shortened offseason and the new staff, I'm not gonna hold my hopes too high. But they're definitely on track to do it. There'd have to be some kind of collapse for them to not make the playoffs, that's for sure.
Right, and he's got to be – I think he's a big part of that, though. I think – now, obviously, Chubb staying healthy and Kareem Hunt, I get that. But
yeah.
Outside of maybe Myles Garrett, like, it's got to be Baker Mayfield that makes this team go. And unless he has some kind of meltdown, they should make the playoffs. I don't think he will. I think he'll be fine. I think he'll be play even a little bit, hopefully, better towards the end of the season. But we'll see, like I said.
Gun to my head, Baker Mayfield's the dude. I just would have liked to see him play better despite the poor weather last week. But let's move on. The Cleveland Browns are playing the Philadelphia Eagles this week. The Eagles are 3-5-1. The Cleveland Browns are favorites at 3.5. We get all of our lines from BetMGM. That is the major sponsor of the Browns Wire website. The Eagles, like you said, they're coming off a 27-17 loss to the New York Giants. It's also good to remember that the Eagles went into that game as a 4.5-point favorite. So that's a pretty big favorite. That's a pretty big loss. Carson Wentz, again, struggled. He was sacked 3 times. He really didn't play that bad. He was just sacked a lot. But I did read that he has the most games under where he has his QBR is under, or he has the most games according to PFF where he's under 50. So I did think that was kind of interesting. But again, there's a lot of variables there. I think he kind of gets the shorthand. Like I said, he was sacked 3 times, and I don't think those were all his fault. The Eagles' offense was super, super crappy. They went 0-9 on third downs. But with all that said, they are still in the driver's seat of the NFC East, Donovan.
Yeah,
isn't that wild?
That's wild. This division is sad because the Cowboys still have a chance. The Giants, I feel like they all do. The Giants are playing the best football out of everybody right now.
They might be, dude, which is sad.
Yeah,
which is sad.
And who's their best weapons? Wayne Gallman and Golden Tate, I guess. They got another receiver too. Drawing a blank on his name right now, but yeah, I mean they're a good team. They fight hard. You can tell their coaching makes a difference with Joe Judge. But what the Eagles, man, it's sad because for Eagles fans anyway, they have all this talent. They're clearly the most talented team left. They're the most talented team to start with, to me. Them and the Cowboys. I had picked them to go pretty far. No, not the Giants, the Eagles.
The Eagles.
I picked them to go 11-5 and win a division. Not going to happen. One of those can happen. Not the 11-5 part. But and I thought Carson Wentz would be like an MVP candidate. Instead, he's having the worst year of his career.
It's bad. I don't know if it's all his fault, man. I really don't. The offensive line is not doing him any favors. His best wide receiver is Travis Fulgham, who, honestly, I don't think he's the best wide receiver. He got a little bit of hype because he had 2 good games. He didn't do shit against the Giants. He had 1 catch for 8 yards, and he had 3 drop pass. He had a big third down drop pass. The best receiver, I thought, was Jalen Reagor.
Yeah, Jalen Reagor is the best receiver. Ertz is on IR still. Goddard's not really. See, Dallas Goddard's not working out, though, as well as I
thought. He's been banged up, too. He's another guy that's bumped up.
Yeah. Now, but there's no excuse to me for Doug. Now, Carson Wentz isn't playing well. Just the fact that he's been outplayed, like you said, the QBR's been under 50, but he's been outplayed by every quarterback opposing him. Every quarterback he's played has had a higher QBR than him.
He's in he's very much in a Baker Mayfield situation where it's just the chicken or the egg.
Yeah, even worse to me. Because Baker's highs have been higher than Carson's highs to me. Carson has like three or four wow throws like that no one else can make, but then like he's just average. That's what he's been.
But you gotta remember too, his best receiver was Greg Ward for a while, who was you know a quarterback in college. And Travis Fulgham got cut from like three teams. Travis Fulgham couldn't sniff a roster. That and they I think they got him for nothing.
Basically, he's on everyone's fantasy team now, by the way.
He's on whose?
I said he's on everyone's fantasy team.
Oh, yeah.
Or everyone's trying to get him, rather.
I think they picked him up off of waivers, too. I don't think that they even traded for him. I can't remember.
Pretty sure. But they're waivers,
their best weapons, Boston Scott, who had 63 yards on three carries. Miles Sanders always hurt. Had a great game, but he had a couple drops in the passing game where he can't contribute. He's always hurt. He had 80 yards rushing, but again, that's pretty inconsistent because of his injuries. So there's just not a lot around him.
I feel like some of that falls on Doug Peterson. He's supposed to be.
Oh yeah.
I mean, they had him listed as a top five, top ten coach. He was number five coming in the season on Sports Illustrated list for top coaches, and that's way too high. Yeah, we don't talk about them, right?
Is that the same website who had every SEC coach ranked higher than Mike Leach? Did you see that list?
I mean, Mike Leach is not good this year, but yeah.
Bro. We'll talk about that on the college show. I am so sick of that. We'll bring that up. We'll bring that up tomorrow.
Some of it's not his fault, but he has not had
his first year. It's his first year.
It's gonna be a long tenure for him. I'll call it fair.
You don't think he's gonna make it, Mississippi State?
No.
Bro,
I think he's gonna have some really good highs and really like he's gonna upset top 10 teams a lot like he did at Washington State, but he's not winning like 9-10 games a year in the West. If he was in the East, maybe, but not.
I'll bet you whatever you
want. He's never gonna be Saban for one. You have to do that eventually, though. Anyway, that's a different topic.
We'll write that down.
We'll talk about that tomorrow. But no, man, Doug Peterson, just to me, he is a good coach now. Obviously, Doug Peterson is a good coach.
Yeah,
I'm not saying he's not. But you got to use Miles Sanders more when he's healthy. He hasn't had over 20. I don't think he has to use him more. He doesn't get enough touches. Miles Sanders.
I don't know what his deal is, though. I don't know. That's the hard part about the NFL. I mean, that's the hard part about any sport is you don't know. You and I don't know how healthy Miles Sanders is. It's easy for us to be like, dude, you got to play him more because he's great. But I don't know how bumped and bruised he is. I don't know. Is he one bad tackle away from being out for 16 more weeks? Do you know what I mean? He's just, it always feels like he's never fully healthy. He's always got like the Q next to his name for questionable.
Right.
Or probable. You know what I mean?
I'm just looking at like teams like Miami, man. They don't have a load of talent to me on offense. They're just good at coaching, and Tua is just getting it done, and Brian Flores is getting it done. Or I'm looking at a team like, I mean,
kicking ass too, though.
No, they're deep, but Philly's defense is supposed to be so good.
You think?
That great.
No,
I mean, everyone's saying their defense is going to be so much better this year. They're not like, now linebacker wise.
The defense is worse than the offense.
They don't have good linebackers. Their linebackers, they're just playing like no.
They don't have good.
They're playing.
The defense has been worse than the offense, dude. The Giants, who we just said was complete garbage, scored 27 points on them. Daniel Jones had 7 rushes for 66 yards. They got decimated by the RPO. Jim Schwartz has done nothing there. They had 10 penalties for 59 yards. A majority of those were on the defense. They're terrible. You said they got no linebackers. They're not really that great at pass rushing, despite all the money they spent on the defense.
I'm saying that they spent so much money on that.
They're not getting to the passer. Now a lot of that is because the other cornerback opposite Darius Slay blows. I think it was Avante Maddox this Sunday. Sometimes it's Sidney Jones. Sometimes it's oh my gosh, I can't remember the third one. But they got three guys rotating in there opposite of Darius Slay, and all three of those guys are inconsistent as hell. Now, they're all young. It's Avante Maddox was last.
Maddox is, yeah.
Sidney Jones, and then who's the other one?
I can't think of the other one, but I know I like Avante Maddox. He is inconsistent, though.
Yeah. He got beat last week.
Yeah, he gets beat deep a lot. That was kind of his,
If the Giants had wide receiver, that was that's the thing. When he has to go up against Jarvis Landry or OBJ, we'll see it this Sunday because I think Jarvis Landry beat that poor boy like a drum.
Maddox, yeah. If
Darius Slay doesn't shadow him, I could see Darius Slay just shadowing Jarvis Landry all game, though.
Yeah, the Eagles are just they're 3-5-1. Like I said, they tied the Bengals earlier. I remember watching that game.
Dude, they're bad.
This team they're not. They are bad, but they just shouldn't be this bad to me. Like, I don't know why. I had a lot of hope for the Eagles coming in. I was like, I think Carson Wentz is good enough to like overcome, like, because he's healthy. It just, I hate that he's healthy this year and the rest of the team's not, because it's usually like the opposite. He's not healthy and then they have a whole healthy squad. And it's like they can't get 2-2 together, but we'll see. I mean, like, the season's not over yet. I won't say it again, it's too early to say must win for anyone. Big win for them to go, if they were to go on the road this weekend and beat the Browns. That would be a big momentum boost just for this team. Not just, I know it's just one win, but what a momentum boost to beat a good team for once, like for the Eagles, I think. And on the road and come back, be 4-5-1, and then still, schedule's manageable. Still could win nine games, eight to nine games this year, which obviously would win a division for them. So,
Maybe not. They've been
close in some games. I mean, I know they're 3-5-1, but they could, I know I, listen to some Philadelphia guys, they could easily be, you know, a 5-win team right now. I know that's how the NFL works. You know, the ball doesn't bounce your way sometimes, but they've just got to get better, man. They had no third down conversions, man. You can't – no third – zero and nine.
First time since 2004 – was that what you said, 2009?
Yep.
Yeah. Whatever. It's like the first time in over 10 years that they've gone a game without converting a third down, which is wild. They went 0-9 on third downs. You're right. When I say that they're bad, it's not fair, because bad and good are such relative terms. They're bad for the expectations, right?
Right. We talk about the Bengals are bad. Like, yes. Supposed to be bad.
There's no skill in the Bengals. But the defensive line for the Eagles is good. They've invested all that money. The offensive line for the Eagles is good. They've invested a lot of top-round draft picks. The defensive backs for the Eagles, they've invested a lot of early-round draft picks in those units. But they're underwhelming. They're underperforming. It shows up week in and week out. Even Carson Wentz. As much as I like Carson Wentz, he's been underwhelming.
And they got also another thing for me is, I think that corner you were trying to, you said the other corner, there was it Cravon LeBlanc?
No, there's another one. There's another one can't think of that has been getting starts this season. But that's another guy. I know Avante Maddox has been the main guy, and Sidney Jones has been the number two. And they've been kind of rotating in now. But they've both been bad. They've both been inconsistent. Yeah. Both were early round draft picks that show potential have been rough. I mean,
I think they also have to stop. When they did this, I liked it, but it's not working right now. The whole Jalen Hurts thing with that's not working.
No,
they got to stop doing that. I get it. Carson Wentz is Mr. Glass. Everyone calls him that in Philadelphia, whatever. Like, I get it.
If he's that big of a pussy, then you shouldn't have him on your roster. That was a waste of the draft pick. That was stupid.
I don't think it's because he's not tough. I just think it's because. But they Well, they know just he's injured all the time. They couldn't keep Foles. You have to have a backup when you have a quarterback like that. But you have to have. Look at the Steelers last year. They weren't prepared last year. They tried with Mason.
It ain't gonna matter if your number one guy quarterback goes down. It's not – you're not going to be – you know what I mean? It don't matter. Nick Foles – every now and again
– I don't know, man. I think that – Miami drafting Tua last year so early, and he's coming in, and he's taking them to the playoffs. Fitzpatrick, he's not taking them to the playoffs. Like, as good as he is, he's going to be average. Like, he's not
– they took Jalen Hurts in the second round, okay? They could have taken – if they really needed a backup quarterback, they could have taken some guy like Anthony Gordon in the fifth or sixth and still gotten a starting caliber player in the second round. A starting caliber player in the second round, dude. I mean, think about it.
You're not high on Jalen Hurts then, it sounds like.
Even if I was, I thought Jalen Hurts was a – I had Jalen Hurts as a second rounder.
Okay, I just want to make – okay, all right. That was a fair argument then,
Yeah, I don't think he was a reach. I thought Jalen Reagor was a reach. I did not have him as a first-round wide receiver. I thought that the Jalen Hurts pick was weird for them, just like the Jordan Love pick was weird for the Packers.
Oh, yeah.
You can go get someone that can go – The Eagles are good. The Eagles are close. There shouldn't be a quarterback controversy. You should go get someone that can play now. You can go fill in a spot. You can get a lot of quality players in the second round. Joel Bitonio is a Pro Bowl guard, and they were drafted in the second round. Jarvis Landry was a second-round pick. Austin Hooper was a third-round pick. Nick Chubb was a second-round pick. Maybe we wouldn't be talking about Boston Scott being their number one running back if they would have taken, you know, someone. I'm not. They shouldn't have taken a running back either.
I know what you mean, though. Yeah, they have Miles.
They took a guy knowing he was going to sit the bench or be a gadget level. What's the ceiling for Jalen? Let's say Carson Wentz is the quarterback of the future, and he should be because they're paying him all that money. What is your ceiling with Jalen Hurts then? Taysom.
Hopefully everybody wants to do the Jimmy Garoppolo thing with their backups. I mean,
if that's
like, when they drafted Jimmy G, they got more for him than the. That's like what you really want realistically. That's not the game plan, but that should be the backup plan. I feel like at worst you should be able to do that.
If that's the thought process that hey, we're gonna draft this guy. Oh man, this guy fell to us. Let's draft him. We'll have him kick ass the preseason a couple years in a row, and then we'll dish him off for a first rounder. That's goddamn genius, Donovan. I'll give them all the props in the world, but right now it's not
looking. Well, no, it's not working. It's not. You're right, but I mean that's got to be the plan because when Carson Wentz goes down for 4 to 6 weeks and Jalen Hurts comes in and does well, that's trade value, and then Carson Wentz gets his job back because they love Carson Wentz. This organization is not really holding him accountable enough. Like I don't think there's a quarterback controversy. I think like
it's weird.
No, I mean it doesn't matter how bad he plays. I don't think like they have so much like invested in him. I don't think it's gonna be for it. Now if they miss the playoffs this year in this division, that's bad. Now he'll get a mulligan because his injuries and the COVID and everything. Okay, but next year got to be guns blazing, man, because they've spent a lot of money. It's a top 10 payroll.
Oh yeah.
It's a top 10 payroll in football. Maybe more than top 10. I know it's a top 10, though, for sure. It could be top 5, top 6, whatever. Now, but
I do want to say, I don't think anybody is. I think there's only about 5 quarterbacks that would be more successful than Carson Wentz in that situation. He has been given a raw deal there. There's not a lot around him. There's just not. So I don't want to act like, you know.
I like Baker over Carson.
I would take Baker over Carson.
Baker's available, man. Carson is not available, and he's bad when he's on the field. It's like, what is he actually like? Even that good as we thought he was? Like at this point,
he's just inconsistent. It's the whole thing. At a certain,
I liked him. I really like Carson Wentz. I'm not trying to knock him, but I'm just so disappointed this year. Maybe I had way too high. I even thought when the injuries happened, I was like, dude, they got Carson Wentz. He'll still be good. And I'm like, he's not helping. He's making the situation worse. Like, I don't know. I just hate it, dude.
That is the beauty of the NFL. There are so many great players, right? It's so hard. People ask me all the time, like, who's your top 5 this, your top 10 that? It's really hard for me to do that because there's so many guys that fit that mold. If you're asking me on their best day, who's this? Do you know what I mean? Like, it's just right. Pat Mahomes thing. Pat Mahomes is the NFL MVP. He's awesome. He's the LeBron James of the NFL, right? But – you know, how much of that is Andy Reid? How much of that is him being able to sit the bench behind Alex Smith? Is Mitch Trubisky that bad, or did he just get handed the keys to a car that he wasn't ready to drive? Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
And I know that that's a kind of a bad example because Mahomes is – well, no, I feel like that is
–
example. There's so many variables. Consistency is such – it's so hard because you look at a guy like Wentz, and he's awesome. He's so – when he's high – he's the best. But when he sucks, there's 30 quarterbacks that are better than him. You know what I mean?
I get that. But I'm looking at guys like Stafford, man. Like, and there's no excuse there. Like, Stafford's playing his ass off through injuries. Yeah. And he doesn't have that much talent either. He's losing games. And he's still – now, Stafford's a quarterback I can clearly see. There's no variables to me. Matthew Stafford is good on any ball club. Doesn't matter what team you put him on. In any situation, Matthew Stafford is good.
They're still not winning games, right?
That's fine, but we know how good he is, though. Like, yeah, they're not winning games, but you can't – this is the NFL. It's not basketball. Like, you can't have one guy. Like, Matthew Stafford's a top-10 quarterback. Every year he's been a top-10 quarterback.
100%. I 100% agree with you. But that's the thing. We're talking about here. That is the weird. That's the beauty about the NFL, right? The focus is so there's so much focus on the quarterback, right? But you said it. Not one guy could win the game. So Matt Stafford, He plays consistent all the time. He is never going to have a worse week than being the number one quarterback, right? Or the number 10 quarterback in the league. You're never going to go through a weekly rankings and not rank him in the top 10. Carson Wentz, you do that half the season. Half the season, you rank that dude in the 20s, right?
Yeah, his highs are higher than Stafford, but I'd rather have a guy that's just consistently, like, solid, man, to me, just because it's
100%.
It's hard. It's hard living with that. It's hard being teased, man.
My point is that we're talking about a guy who's uber consistent versus a guy that's inconsistent, and their teams are the exact same. They got the exact same goddamn record. They're both, you know what I mean? They're both swallowed in misery because their teams suck. So it's like, I don't, you know, or even if he is inconsistent as hell, are you going to give up on him, or are you going to try to build a – you know, there's just a lot of variables. There's a lot – to me, Wentz is good enough to where I want to build around him. I'm going to try to chalk up a huge portion of his inconsistencies to the talent, the lack of talent around him and his inability to stay healthy. And I'm going to hope that the more I add around him, the longer he stays healthy and the smarter he makes decisions and the better he is. That's what I'm hoping. Now, it could go either way, though, because – how inconsistent he is. A guy like Matthew Stafford, you know that if you put him with the Steelers, he's going to the Super Bowl. You know what I mean?
Exactly. But I agree with you, though. I think that I would keep going with Wentz. I know that, like, they're 24th in offense right now, 27th in passing. They're running. They're still 10th in the running game. Like you said, I mean, they've been inconsistent on the line. They've been banged up. That contract, you know, you still got to go with them, but I think Eagle fans are just disappointed because of how high he was paid, and then the fact that they won a Super Bowl with Nick Foles, and this is the same coach, you know, all of the same players, and they've gotten worse.
The draft, you know what I mean? They drafted weird too.
They did a lot of luxury picks.
Yes, picks. Yeah, exactly, 100%. They drafted like the Chiefs.
The Chiefs, yeah.
Yeah. It's like, what are you doing? Did you draft that? You drafted a wide receiver who doesn't know how to run routes and has been injured throughout his college career. Then you drafted a quarterback in the second round that you have no interest in playing. And those are premium picks, dude. Those are premium picks. The Browns got two players that, you know, they got Grant Delpit in the second round and Jedrick Wills in the first. Those guys were going to start day one. And that's the kind of guys you can get. They just, I don't understand. Their is not helping.
I know this is a side note. I was going to ask if you were worried about the two picks for the Browns from LSU with everything that's going on.
We should really discuss that. I forgot to even write that down. Most Browns fans know, there is a report coming out that LSU was hiding some potential sexual misconduct situations. We all know that the Darius Guys thing came to light a couple months ago. That's why he's no longer in the NFL. Because his situation was, I think the R word was dropped, right? Rape, wasn't that?
Yeah. His was. Yeah. Grand Delphi's not quite at that level. But
R level's not being dropped, but sexual harassment and.
He was recording a woman with sexual.
That's right.
Having sex without her permission, so.
That's right. And
which is so bad.
That, he showed it to everybody, right? Yeah. That was the big issue.
Yeah.
That was Grant Delpit and Jordan Phillips. Is there rumors that he hit somebody?
Yeah.
Was it okay? Yeah. There's also rumors that he struck a girl, and that would she report? I can't remember. There were so many cases, and they kind of just
spit
names out. But those are the two big ones for the Browns: is Grant Delpit and Jordan Phillips. Unfortunately, we'll see what happens. You know, I guess I'd be a bad person to ask about it. Darius Guice was one of my favorite running backs coming out of LSU, and I saw him in a bunch of interviews and thought he was just a very stand-up individual. So I never would have guessed that he was capable of something that like that. Now, he hasn't been charged yet, right?
No, he hasn't been charged yet. It's just not looking really good for him. Because, I mean, he's got multiple things right now.
Is that right?
Yeah, he's got the sexual abuse and misconduct and actual rape charge. So it's just a lot. So two different.
Is that right? Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
He's done.
Yeah, that's what makes it bad, man. It's like one person. I don't know. It's all bad that this did not happen, but I cannot say that. There's guys also is just hurt when he tore his ACL, too, on top of that.
Well, my understanding, too, is that the Jordan Phillips and Grant Delpit were also pretty tight with Darius Guice.
Mm, yeah. Which is
not the best sign.
You know? No, it's not at all. But I mean, there's a couple other names that were like backup players in there too. I didn't recognize the names, but I saw like a third or fourth string tight end was in there. And he's still a student there. He's still on the team. He's like a long snapper. So yeah, I don't know. It's a lot. I don't know. I saw that and I saw a couple Browns guys in there. So I mean, I hope that didn't happen.
It's definitely something to monitor because you can't mess around with that kind of stuff. You know what I mean?
It's hard to like talk about it because we don't know any details, so it's don't have to really can't go into detail. Obviously, we're not knowing anything, and we won't really know anything for a while. It's gonna be a whole year before.
And the Browns do have a little bit of a reputation now. John Dorsey's gone, and a lot of those regimes, you know, obviously the new regime doesn't have a reputation for doing that. But John Dorsey brought in guys like Antonio Callaway, who had similar issues out of college, Caleb Brantley, defensive tackle from Florida, who had similar issues, you know, at the college. Obviously, he was the one that signed Kareem Hunt, who was also on video doing something, you know. But the Cleveland's welcomed Kareem Hunt with open arms. Now, it's Kareem Hunt's allegations. It was his stuff as bad as these other guys? I don't know. I guess that's not for me to decide. It's very strange. It's hard to judge how teams are going to react. And that I know that Jordan Phillips and Grant Delpit were premium draft picks, and that shouldn't play a role in how they react. But unfortunately, that's the reality of the situation. You know, what's the old saying? If Hannibal ran a 4-2, they'd say he had an eating disorder.
Yeah, it's something like that. Yeah, Jacob Phillips and Grant Delpit are high picks, man. So,
I know. So,
it depends how it goes. That's how bad you'll know how bad it is, I think, because I think they would have stuck with guys a little bit longer if they know, man, this might not be looking too hot, you know what I mean? So, we might have to go ahead and get rid of them. And we've seen that throughout like every sport, really. Teams will give up on guys sometimes, no matter how high they pick them or how good they are. Long as, I mean, if they, you know, like Nick Chubb, some of that, or Miles Garrett, those guys obviously going to get a little bit more leeway, like I said.
Kareem Hunt, the NFL. I mean, he was on video kicking the crap out of that girl. And
yeah, exactly. Or back. Miles Garrett's situation. I mean, that's not, you can't even compare that. It's not even the same. But
Miles Garrett's situation, he didn't have a situation.
No. I mean, the whole thing with him and Mason last year, and, you know, some people thought Mason Rudolph, or not, Miles Garrett should be suspended for like a year, dude, or keep that NFL. Like, I know you saw
Suspended is different than he should be publicly ostracized. You know what I mean? Like, Kareem Hunt.
No, that's why I said totally different. But I'm just saying, like, people were throwing stones at Miles Garrett too, for sure. Like,
an idiot. I'm not gonna defend Miles Garrett, but he didn't shit out of a civilian female, you know what I mean? Like, he got caught up in the moment and, you know, did something he didn't break the law again. There are different rules too. I mean, you know, we've seen guys get in bar fights like Richie Incognito and
that guy.
You know,
he's got a lot of chances too.
Yeah, but when we look at that, It's silly to say, but if you hit and who was the running back, Jeremy Hill, or when he beat up some dude at a bar, or like I said, Richie Incognito beat the crap out of some dude at a bar.
LSU, Jeremy Hill with the LSU too.
yeah, like that, but that's not as bad because it's for some, you know, it's a dude on dude kind. But when you start, you know, it's a double standard. But unfortunately, it's there for a reason. I mean, when you start abusing women and sexually, and you know, it's never just physically, first of all. Second of all, it's just there's so many layers to it, and it's much worse, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's so much worse. So especially sexual assault, rape allegation, that place has no,
those are big words. The rape thing, we need to slow down when we say that.
It's allegations. Yeah, I said allegations.
That's only against guys. Has not been brought
Dice.
Up.
With, yeah. No Browns yeah. players. Yeah. No yeah. Browns players. That's got, that there's a reason why Geis isn't on the team.
Yeah.
That's one
a whole yeah.
That's one of the reasons why.
Away.
Yeah.
We're not even in the same ballpark at that point.
Yeah, that's one of the reasons why he's not on the team. Obviously, like I said, with the injuries. But he's young. If he gets I don't know, man. Like,
Geis,
I feel like
Geis is done, bro.
He's done Geis forever. Is done. Forever,
dude. Hell yeah, man. Because there's too many women for it to not. There's too much smoke for there to not be fire, right?
I agree with you. I just these guys, man. He's talented, man. He might get a He's going to have to earn it somewhere else, maybe. I'm about to earn it in one of the other leagues, the leagues that, you know, Josh keeps up with, every damn football league. CFL, well, when they come back next year. The spring
league, by the way, that's a good note. The spring league has officially stopped their season in 2020.
COVID outbreak? Oh, damn, dude. I just watched my first game, Shay's first game. Not Shay's first game, but Shay, yeah. I forgot what team he was on, but I just started watching it.
Blues?
I think so.
Blues, yeah.
Oh, that's, I hate that. That sucks, man. It's just not. They don't have time for other leagues right now. Even on the soccer, you know, soccer is such an international sport. They've cut out all those leagues except the Premier League and all the top leagues. So it's just, we're barely getting college sports. Like, you know what I mean? So I guess we have to be happy with what we got.
Seamless transition from talking about rape accusations to spring football.
Well, that's the league that Geist might be in. You know, I was thinking about him in the XFL. Getting the second chance.
Yeah. No, bottom line, and then we'll move on from it, is if it is true, these players need to be reprimanded, something needs to take place. And honestly, they probably do need to lose their jobs. Unfortunately, that's, you know, you can't let that, they're abusing their power, and it's getting out of hand, and they need to be punished. Right?
I agree with you. Definitely, 100%.
But until then, you know, we'll see what happens. Innocent until proven guilty and whatnot and so forth. We've been talking for 45 minutes, and it was kind of a downer in the last 15 minutes. Jeez, Donovan.
Sorry. Got real, man.
It did get real. Let's go ahead. First of all, before we get to the last one, I want to know your pick against the spread for the Cleveland Browns Philadelphia Eagles game. But first, I want to let everybody know this Saturday, Playball Inc., they open up a new store in Toledo. The same old store at the Tuttle Mall in Dublin, Ohio, still there. This week is the drop off for all the Cleveland Browns. They have Donovan Peoples-Jones, $25. Ronnie Harrison, $25. Mac Wilson, $20. Porter Gustin, $20. JC Treader, $25. Wyatt Teller, $25. Joel Bitonio, $25. I'm going over the Jack Conklin for $25, and then the first round pick Jedrick Wills for $30. That's right. You can get all five starting offensive line for $105 if you just call ahead. The drop off is this Saturday. Is a private signing due to COVID. You have to drop off your items or buy the items there at Playball Inc. They have a lot of items for sale. But yeah, check it out, dude. Everybody needs to go check it out and tell them that the Browns Wire podcast sent you. Please let them know that the Browns Wire podcast sent you. I might see you there dropping off my Cornell big red helmet for JC Treader to get signed.
Yeah, man, drop it all. I'm loving the autographs that you have, man. He has the craziest collection. I've seen Josh's collections. I might start mine. My girlfriend's gonna hate that. She's gonna be like, don't spend your money on stuff like that, but I might have to do it.
It's a lot. $20 a pop, bro.
Hey, adding to your net worth.
That's right.
Yeah. That's right. That's a good way to look at it.
Hey, the guys at Playable Inc., they're good guys. Kevin is the store manager over there at the one at Tuttle Mall. Tell them Josh Keatley and Donovan say hi. You know, maybe he'll help us out a little bit more in the near future if you do so. But before we end this podcast, the Browns are favored by 3.5 points over the Philadelphia Eagles. The Cleveland Browns are at home. What does your pick do against the spread?
It's 3.5.
Yeah.
According to our good friends at USA Today and Browns.
MGM bet, baby. MGM bet, where we get all of our odds moving forward.
Awesome. I'll take the Browns by 6.
Oh, my God. Really? You think the Browns are going to win by 6?
Yeah. They win by 6. Or I think they will. 20-14.
The Browns have not beaten the spread in the last 4 contests, and I don't think it's going to change this week. Something stupid's going to happen. I think that the Browns can win. The Browns should win. I don't think I said anything positive about the Philadelphia Eagles during this entire podcast, other than the fact that I wouldn't cut Carson Wentz. But with that said, the Browns haven't done much to prove that they're good. The Browns cannot put their foot on the gas pedal. They continuously squeak out these victories, and that's fine for the win comp. That's fine to make the playoffs. But as far as making money goes and betting, I'm going to go with the Philadelphia Eagles getting the field goal in the half. I'm hoping that if the Browns can win by more than that, I'll consider that a huge, huge victory, because the Browns have struggled to put their foot on the gas pedal.
They have struggled. You're right. I think it's going to be low scoring, though. I don't know the over-under, but, I mean, it's gonna, I said 2013, so – or 2014, excuse me. That's what I was saying, 2014.
I think, did not write down the total. I apologize for that. I should have done that.
No, you're fine. It'll probably change throughout the week. Like you said, they have a lot of Qs on the other side for the Eagles. a lot of Qs, a lot of Os, a lot of stuff like that. You know, a lot of players banged up kind of halfway
down. I am so we'll surprised that the spread was this low, though, because the Browns have three more victories. And the Browns are coming off a win. You know what I mean? The Eagles are coming off an embarrassing loss. I am surprised that it's only 3.5. Does that make sense?
No, it does make sense. But that just shows you how Vegas goes by talent a lot, man. Like, not they really do. Win. So,
they do.
And they go by momentum, too, though. So it is kind of surprising. But the Browns, even though they're 6-3, don't really have momentum, per se, besides Chubb. Like, honestly. Like,
right. 100%. Yeah.
They don't look good. Like, they're just they've won games, but they're not wowing you.
Exactly. Exactly.
I mean that was an ugly win versus
And they've all been ugly. They've all been ugly. I can't, the Browns have not had an impressive.
Even that Bengals game was ugly, kinda.
Yeah, hell yeah, it was. We talked about that. Yeah.
They really won. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that was the most impressive Baker looked, but it wasn't pretty, and it was versus the worst team in the NFL.
He looked good in the first half against the Colts, too.
Oh, you know, he did.
The Colts game was probably the last time where I sat back and was like, God damn, the Browns are good. Because I thought the Colts were good, too. Remember when they walked in, the Colts were coming in with the number one defense. And the Colts end up being pretty good, too, because they beat the Colts are good. The Colts are a good team. They beat the Titans last week. That was a good win by the Browns. It looked very impressive pouring it on the Colts, I thought. But that was the last time I walked away impressed with the Browns win.
Yeah, it definitely wasn't Sunday. But hey, a win is a win. A loss is a loss. That's a famous quote, too. I don't know who said it. But pretty simple quote. Pretty basic. But I just know, in the NFL, man, you're going to take wins however you can get them. There's no style points like college football or whatever. So it's hard to get wins. It's the weather change, like I said. But you want to look good and you want to win with style and grace, like the Chiefs and Steelers have been doing and stuff like that. But it's hard to. You just got to take your wins when you can. And it's ugly sometimes. But hey, man, trying to get to 7-3 next week. I sound like a damn player, trying to get to 7-3, man. Just trying to get another
coach speak. All right, I tell you what, this was the Browns Bar podcast. Before we go, though, remember to listen to our betting podcast next week. We're going to bring three best bets for college, three best bets for pro. I had an awesome week, Donovan. How did you do?
I don't have it right in front of me. I think. I don't know. I think I did okay. I know I lost the Chargers game because they lost completely. But I think I did well. No, I lost the BC game too. Boston College, Notre Dame. But I did all right. Man. I mean, hey. USC, Arizona, though, man. I've been killing on all USC games.
That's right.
Like, don't pick us. Like, don't pick USC, dude. We are going to barely win every game this year. People like us way too much in Vegas. But yeah, I did all right, man. I was looks like I was 2-1 in both.
Oh, so damn, you did better than me.
I don't know the Tampa Carolina score by heart because it was 5.5. I took them. Did they not win by 5.5?
I thought Tampa Bay I thought Tampa Bay got.
Yeah. They got them. Yeah, they won. And then Carolina had McCaffrey and Bridgewater out, and they're out next week too. So it's going to be rough for them. But your boy from the XFL is getting the start for the Panthers.
Hell yeah, Philip Walker, baby.
Philip Walker, yeah. Temple. Ow.
That's right, dude. PJ MVP. That's what I got. I bought the Houston Roughnecks shirt with the PJ Walker symbol on it. I'm psyched. I'll give you a little taste for tonight. I got Kent State giving 24 points to Akron. So let's see if I can keep the good times rolling in college football. But we'll be back tomorrow. This was the Browns Wire Podcast. You can follow me on Twitter at JoshKeatley16. Please give us a like review. Let us know what's going on. Hit Donovan and I up anytime. Donovan, where can they hit you up at?
Yeah, hit me up on Twitter, this new and improved Twitter. I don't know about improved. I don't really like it that much.
But the video, the little Snapchat video?
The fleet thing? Yeah, I don't know about it. But hit me up on there, at Don Jamin Sports. The name remains the same. Actually, if you guys are Hoops fans, I know the NBA draft tomorrow. Cleveland's picking in the top five because they are very bad. unlike the Browns, they are picking in the top five. So, the Cavs pick will be pretty high tomorrow. And that's going to be huge because they've got some trade assets and stuff like that. And they've got a couple of players, young guys are looking for. This is a solid draft. It's not an amazing draft, but it's a solid one. So we should be looking forward to it. Maybe they'll get Lonzo Ball.
Isn't he going to jail?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, he is. Yeah.
But guns and drugs, but he beat the shit out of some chick in Youngstown, I thought.
Yeah. Speaking of USC guys, man, embarrassed by that one. But yeah, he I mean, he had character issues like hell coming in. Everybody knew that. Oh yeah, everyone knew like this kid was just.
Is that right?
Yeah, he surrounded himself with really bad people and just has a temper, and he's a hothead, and it caught up with him. Man. I hate it because he's young, man. He's only 19, 20 years old, but it's caught up with him, man. Talented, man. Top five talent in last year's draft. But he dropped. Yeah, he fell. Now we know why. I knew why. I mean, everyone knows now why he fell from being in the top five to, 13? Mid-range. Wow. I mean, 20. Wow. Yeah. I know I'm asking. Yeah, he fell. It was a fall, like, I guess, for NFL equivalent for you to say, it would be like probably going from the mid-first round to, like, the late second.
Oh, jeez.
Because of pure character issues alone. Like,
wow.
Yeah. Yeah, he fell from that. That's because, you know, there's only two rounds in the NBA.
Yeah.
So that's equivalent to that. A mid first drop into the late second, early third. That's pretty bad.
It is
just
bad.
For character issues. Yeah. I mean, his coach didn't even vouch for him. He was like, no, this kid's got problems, man. If y'all can find a good home for him, maybe. And Cleveland's the worst place for him because that team's young, franchise is in disarray for the Cavs, and they don't have any leadership. I mean, Tristan Thompson, but I mean, that's not really great leadership when he's dating Khloe Kardashian in LA half the time. But that's a different, you know, I don't want to go into a Cavs rant. That's right. Yeah. The Cavs got a long way to go, my dude. That's all I can say. But yeah, check that out. We're doing a mock draft tonight. It'll be out tomorrow morning. And yeah, there's going to be some things changing. You know, James Harden might be trading everything. So we'll kind of update that and do a mock for that. We've got the whole thing going. So just check it out on City Union Sports. And then obviously, yeah, man, please follow me on Twitter. And then thank you to Josh, Jeff Ritz, and everybody. And that's why I appreciate it.
Absolutely. This was the Brownswire Podcast, and we are out.
Others treat your fries as an afterthought. All you're left with are cold, soggy fries. That's why Wendy's new fries are ones you won't forget. Guaranteed to be hot and crispy, or we'll replace them. We're talking natural cut, skin on fries, perfectly seasoned with a hint of sea salt. In fact, they're even preferred almost 2-to-1 over McDonald's. These are fries so hot and crispy, they beg a new question.
What would you like with your fries?
Try them today, only at Wendy's.
At participating U.S. Wendy's, taste preference based on a national taste test by an independent research company.
This is your Wendy's wake-up call. Start your day with a better breakfast and get a free drink with any of our morning-making breakfast sandwiches. That's your favorite drink in a Wendy's cup, free. Fresh brewed coffee, free. Diet Coke, free. Vanilla Frosty Chino, that's cold brew plus Frosty Creamer plus free. So don't sleep on this deal. Get any size drink in a Wendy's cup free when you buy any breakfast sandwich. Choose wisely. Choose Wendy's.
Limited time only at participating Wendy's. A la carte only. Offer valid upon request on lowest price qualifying item. Not valid for third-party delivery.